Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. All day. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. Always. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. Tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, next generation of Baltimore sports talk. I am your endearing and stuttering host, Matt Soroka. As always, I'm joined by the button lover, Josh Soroka.
Hey, Matt, good to see you again. We had a nice weekend together.
We did. We spent some time in person together, first time in a while.
Yeah, us and the Orioles. The Orioles spent some time. It was real nice to spend some time in person with the Orioles.
That's right. Our home away from home, Camden Yards. And we did our part. We went 2-0. So
yeah, yeah. Well, we did our part. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Brandon Hyde didn't do his part on Sunday. That was quite the lineup.
Well, get used to it. The old Sunday lineup.
I know, the old Sunday lineup. Yeah, even when you're a good team. When you win the series, that third day, who needs rest?
That's right. So. But even that wasn't good enough to get Colton Cowser in the game. But we can get into that later.
yeah, no Colton Cowser. Still, I hear he will play tomorrow.
Oh, Josh has inside source tells yeah. Josh that Cowser will play tomorrow.
Yeah, my inside source was Kevin Brown at the beginning of this broadcast.
Well, and Manager Hyde said it too.
And Manager Hyde said it to Kevin Brown, yeah.
He's in the next couple of days.
Yes.
And it wasn't today, so that would be tomorrow.
Yeah. And tomorrow's a right-handed pitcher, I think, so. But, yeah. So we saw, what do we see? We saw two games against the Angels in person.
Yeah, we saw Thursday and Saturday's game.
I watched Sunday I watched half of it from BWI, and then I listened to the other half at BWI.
Okay, I was home for Sunday.
And then I've got today's game on. And I don't know, have you watched today's game with the Royals? I don't know if you've watched any of today's game. There's one thing that's distracting with today's broadcast.
Distracting with the broadcast?
Yes, there's something a little distracting with the broadcast.
I mean, I got the game on right now, and I'm looking at the broadcast.
All right.
Oh, what distracting.
What is right above the umpire? Oh, I like that. The Royals just, I hate if you're listening to the replay, but the Royals just completely lost the ball at first base. Now, if you're watching the broadcast or you watched it last night, there was someone sitting dead center, home plate, right behind the umpire.
Like the guy wearing red or the guy wearing blue?
The guy wearing red.
Okay.
Is an Andy Reid impersonator.
Oh,
he's,
really?
He's got the headset on and everything. Your TV must be pretty tiny.
Okay, well, I'm far away too from
it. Yeah, he's got the Gaiman headset on.
My vision's not very good.
And everything, like he's Andy Reid.
Okay.
So I don't know if he travels to like Kansas City games.
Yeah.
And that he's a Royals fan, because obviously he's a Chiefs fan.
Yeah,
but,
the Royals guy.
So that's his bit, and he managed to get those seats for the Orioles tonight.
Nice. So we have Marlins man and Chiefs man, or Andy Reid man.
Yeah, fake Andy Reid.
Yeah. How do you know it's not the real Andy Reid?
He's not that big.
Okay. Fair enough.
Is that an easy way to do it?
Yeah.
Or sure. not big enough.
All right.
But who cares? We got real baseball to talk about. So we don't need distractions like this to talk about. But my question with you is, where should we start? We've seen three, almost four ball games by now. We've gone to Camden. We've experienced Camden this year. We traveled. You had Little League this week. I mean, where do we start?
Well, I know where you want to start. So let's start there.
Where?
It was opening day, new year.
Celebration.
We can talk about new celebration. We can talk about new things at the park, how they revamped the kids section. We can get to Apple. We talk about some of we talk about the introductions. Was there anything, Josh, okay, in terms of off the field
all
stuff?
Right. You're good. You're right.
Back at Camden Yards. I know you want to go there. So let's start there.
You're right. Let's talk. That's a great place to start, is the environment at Camden Yards. As we
ages,
were
observations.
Yeah. So as we lines, were,
whatever.
as we were heading to the stadium on Thursday, you were kind of highlighting some of the new upgrades at the ball field.
I pulled up a blog from Steve Molesky. That's all I did. I was reading all the updates Steve had on the stadium.
So there was one. Let's start with this. There was one that really intrigued us as parents with kids.
Yeah.
And there's the kids area, which is fine. Nothing special. They got TVs there for us. So, okay. But they specifically called out it's a new and improved kid area.
Yeah. Well, and I'll read the quote. And this is from, I'm sorry, it's not from Steve Molesky. It just says from Masson staff, called Orioles 2024 Camden, Oriole Park Camden Yards preview. And they talk about, you know, Natty Bow and the new concessions. And then they have a thing about the kids' corner. And here's all it says for the kids' corner. Here's a description of what they added. It says, the Hi-Chu Kids Corner located near Gate C will feature brand new signage spotlighting Hi-Chu, the immensely fruity and intensely chewy popular Japanese candy. So anytime the kids' corner gets mentioned in terms of changes to the ballpark, it gets me excited because, you know, we've been to a lot of stadiums. I think our kids' corner kind of stinks, to be honest.
Yes.
A little playground there, and then we got a couple blow-ups, and that's all right.
So Hi-Chu signage.
Yeah.
Did that make things better?
Yeah, I think so.
No, it didn't. All it is
a cool sign that said Hi-Chu.
It just says Hi-Chu underneath of everything that says Kid Corner now. That's the only change in the entire place.
That's the only change. So. But to Camden Yards' credit, and I think there's something that's great about Camden Yards, they brought back the kids' cheer-free thing.
Yes.
And the whole kids section, none of it costs money, which is not true in other stadiums.
Right.
So I give them credit for that, but also it kind of stinks.
Yeah. It's just, it stinks to be like, hey, we've got a sponsor now for the kids area. And that's the new and improvement.
Yeah.
All right.
But I think, and we talked in the offseason about all this money coming to the Camden Yards. Not yet.
Not yet.
No. In terms of improvement.
Not yet.
Yeah.
You mentioned Natty Bow back at the yard. Did you have a Natty Bow?
No.
So you have no desire or care that Natty Bow is back?
Right. I had a beer. I had one beer there. I don't like to spend, first of all, $12 for a single drink of any drink, no matter what that drink is. And so I went with a beer I know I like and Snake Dog, and I didn't go with the Natty Bow.
All right.
So I don't care.
And yeah, and I don't care either. But I do, I am glad, and we've talked about it on here before, that Coca-Cola is back, because I'm a Coke person.
I did not buy any Pepsi, Coke, or Aquafina, so I don't care.
So, well, how about this? How about the fact that there are no more? Sorry, we both got distracted by the game, as the Orioles just took the lead in the bottom of the eighth. And the bird bath is still going on. But one change that they did, the soda.
Birdbath was busy this last couple of days.
They have been. I don't know if you've noticed.
It's cold birdbath.
There was no, there's no fountain sodas at the stadium. All the sodas and drinks like that are now all bottles. And I'm not sure, it looked like all the beers are now bottles as well. The only drink I saw served in a cup is lemonade. And they've improved the lemonade by now offering lemonade vodka.
Yeah, by adding a thing of vodka in there.
Yeah. Did you notice the price difference if you get a lemonade versus a lemonade vodka?
Yes. Lemonade, $10. Lemonade vodka, $100.
It was
something like that.
It was $7 and $15.
Yeah, $8.
So that little thing. I'd recommend putting that little airplane bottle of vodka just in your sock on your way in and buy the $7 lemonade.
I've done it before and I'll do it again.
I think everyone's done it. Yeah. So, I guess I'm trying to think through what we haven't discussed on this. I was happy. Wow. We always do a walkthrough on the stadium, get there early and check out the new vendors and everything. I will say that I had a really good chicken sandwich at Camden Yards, which is probably the best food, highest quality food I've had at Camden Yards before. So I was happy with that.
All right. There's also a new burger place that has very long lines. So that.
Yeah. Sure, that Fuzzies.
Fuzzies. Yeah.
Fuzzies. There's also now Squire's Pizza, who says they're the best pizza in Baltimore. But I didn't try that because I'm a Lido's guy. And I don't want to taste something that is different than Lido's if I'm in Maryland.
Yeah, you stay faithful to your Lido's. That's for
yeah,
sure.
I am. I'm very faithful to Lido's.
Yeah.
So, pregame ceremony stuff. Were you surprised with anything by pregames?
From what I heard, and I say from what I heard because you can't hear everything with the sound system, but yes, what I heard.
Sound system, they did not improve. Hopefully next year. That'll continue to be top of the list.
Yeah. I hope they don't fix it because Josh is an audio guy. He lives, breathes, sleeps audio stuff.
It doesn't matter if you're an audio guy. You can't hear.
No, it drives you crazy more than it drives the average person crazy.
No, I think it drives the average person crazy when you can't hear.
It sounds just like my old high school sound system.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of used to it.
Yeah, but you're not at a high school game.
No, you're not, but it sounds like it. So, but no, I thought everything went great. The weather held up. It didn't rain like it was supposed to. It was cold and windy, but that's okay. It was a great crowd. There was some debate between Dad and us on the appropriateness of mooing Colton Cowser. Josh, are you team moo or does that sound too much like boo and you're opposed to it?
No, I am team moo.
Okay.
I just got to get the t-shirt made.
You don't have a Moo t-shirt yet?
No, I have a Holy Cowser shirt.
Okay,
I went that way.
Cowser. Okay.
With a cowbell. The Moo will be coming.
All right. Yeah, so I thought it was fun. That was fun. He got a good Moo. I was surprised that the Moo caught on so quickly.
Yeah, because you got to think it's only like, what, Orioles Twitter that pushed the Moo? So.
Yeah, I guess. So. That was fun. And in terms of the stadium itself, there was no real changes. I thought it seemed like compared to last year, they did, and maybe just the first day, but they did kind of beef up the workers. Like I felt like the lines were not quite as atrocious for a sellout.
Except for the bathrooms.
Okay, well, there's not workers helping you go to the bathroom.
I know, but I want to know what happened. But I want to know what happened because I have never seen lines like the playoff games. I haven't seen lines like they were at these men's rooms.
Yeah, sometimes between innings you get a long line, but this was at any point really during the game.
Any point.
A long line.
No, and I would go to like dead areas of the stadium thinking there'd be no one there, and it's still a long line. Yeah. I don't understand that.
I don't know. We'll have to put our investigative team on it.
Yeah, I need we don't have the intern anymore. We could assign him to go just watch bathrooms.
Yeah, see if someone's clogging toilets or what's going on there.
Yep, time, count the number of urinals. Did they take one less urinal? Down? Did they try to save some money some way? Not sure. But bathroom lines were ridiculous, and I'd never have seen that at Camden Yards on the men's side, so I was confused.
No change in the team store, but I did spend the most money I've ever spent in my life inside that team store. I bought a baseball, and as you guys can see is watching the stream, I bought a City Connect hat. So I'm a little late to the game, but I finally got my City Connect gear.
You've embraced it, as I think all of Birdland has. All right, so pregame they did the introductions. Besides announcing the taxi squad third string catcher, were you surprised that Batista was there for the announcements?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think it was pointed out to me that John Means wasn't there.
Right.
So it's a little bit weird. You're introducing some people who aren't on the team, but not everyone who's who's on the injured list. So I guess it was whoever was around, maybe. I know since then, Batista has gone down to Sarasota, yes. So he's no longer here.
Yeah. Now, do you think maybe that had something to do with the fact that John Means was getting ready for his rehab start?
Yeah, it could
because be. He ended up starting, Saturday in for Norfolk.
So he was unable to run out on the orange carpet because it would interfere with his preparations for pitching in a few days?
No, that's not the But maybe not travel to Baltimore.
All the way from Norfolk?
Yeah. That's a long, that's a 4-hour drive. Maybe he just didn't want to.
Maybe
he says, if I'm not the opening day pitcher, I ain't coming.
Maybe. Maybe there's some friction there. I was surprised. I don't know why John Means wasn't there. I guess there was a reason, but I never heard it.
Right.
So I don't know. But yeah, it was good to see Bautista. It's great to see Bautista out there. And everything seems to be going well with his recovery. As we know, John Means, he got to pitch an inning at Norfolk. That was an absolute disaster.
Yes.
But he said he feels healthy and good coming after. So I guess that's the most important thing.
Right. That's the more important thing is his health. Yeah. And I'd say Baltimore Oriole fans did a good job in not booing Peter Angelos.
Well, it was really hard. They didn't really get the chance to.
They purposely, ran past it real fast on the death reel. Didn't focus on it, understandably. But they made it about the next chapter. And that whether it's the team being good and making this push, but really it's this change in ownership is what they're really triggering as the next chapter.
Yeah, I don't know if they purposely ran through it as much as it was on the top of the alphabet and then they just went through all the names. But it seems like
convenient.
And they could have, in my opinion, should have done something else in addition.
They
separate from that to recognize the guy who's owned the team for our entire fanhood virtually, and for virtual the fanhood of many, many people, almost the entirety of Birdland's fanhood, and to make no real acknowledgement of that owner, I think is a mistake.
I
understand why it was done out of fear of the reaction.
I don't think
it was a mistake.
I don't think it was done out of fear.
Why do you think it was he was left off?
Or I think it was done off? I think it was done out of dumb people. I think that we have younger people working these jobs who think that Peter Angelos he's the type of owner that wouldn't spend money, that he's this mean owner that wouldn't spend money and didn't want to win. And I think these people who work here now, so they didn't, because they should have, at the end of the death reel, they had a slide for Brooks, who passed in last September. They should have had the same slide for Peter Angelos.
Yeah, agreed.
Or they should have had something else to thank the Angelos family for their stewardship of the team.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah. I guess
we disagree on the reasons why, but
yeah.
I think it was done.
Whether it was done, whether it was done by fear or by accident or by stupidity, it wasn't done.
Yeah, you should give me a Baltimore on the right to be stupid. You didn't even give me the opportunity to be stupid and boo. I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have booed.
Right.
There probably would have been stupid people who booed, but give those stupid people the opportunity to be stupid, and then we come on here and criticize them.
Yes.
Criticize the Orioles.
I would like to see the team have done the classy thing. I agree. Don't worry about a reaction from other people, but do the classy thing, do the right thing. All right.
We'll talk about the play on the field now?
That's what I was going to say. I think that covers all that stuff. So, yeah, you want to talk about this monster of a lineup?
Oh, wow. So it's interesting that's the first place your mind goes.
Or do you want to go with – you want to go that we have a real ace?
Yeah, like my takeaway from the first couple of games is, yeah, our offense is great. But that doesn't surprise me at all. Our offense was good last year, and it's going to be good this year. It's going to get better when Jackson Holliday gets here. But my takeaway was Corbin Burns, wow. Corbin Burns, yes. Wow.
Yes.
And pinch me, he's actually on the Orioles. Yeah, Orioles, Mike Elias actually did it and traded for a top rotation arm. DL Hall could be great. Joey Ortiz could be great. But Corbin it was the right move. It was, knowing what we know now, this was the right move. This is what our team needed. Our team needed a top rotation arm to say, hey, American League, we're legit. And on Thursday afternoon, he pitched like it.
Yeah.
And we could throw the caveats out there that it was just the Angels and it was.
It doesn't matter. They were on your schedule.
But he looked great. He looked unhittable. There was the one hit to Mike Trout, obviously. But outside of that, he was unhittable. So that was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, and there's something where, because that home run was Mike Trout, you forgive it because that's Mike Trout. So you give a little there, but yeah, unhittable. Besides that, and then he got pulled out of the game not because of any struggles, not because of a high pitch count. Like, he could have gone deeper, but there was no need because the game was a blowout. So they just conserved his arm. And we don't see it that, we have not seen it that often in the past with pitchers where they're able to go deep in games. And Burns showed me that he should be able to go deep in games this year.
Right. If we're pulling guys in the fifth inning or at 80 pitches, traditionally we pull out of incompetence because they gave too many hits and runs that we had to pull them just to stay competitive, or they were gassed. That was not the situation. It looks like Corbin Burns is going to be a guy who can continually get deep into games, give a chance to win. Yes. And then in that same vein, Grayson Rodriguez pitched really well. And I think just a huge year from Grayson. I think we kind of know we're going to get greatness from Corbin. We're hoping for greatness from Grayson. So he got off to a really good start as well on Sunday, so, or on Saturday rather. So yeah, our offense is great, but our starting pitching for me is that's going to be the key right there.
Well, yeah, if we look at it, Grayson went six innings. How many did Burns do? Did Burns do six as well?
I think he did six as well.
All right. And then Wells struggled for the first two innings, gave up four runs, and then really settled in and just like became a shutdown pitcher. So even Wells got six innings. When's the last time we had three pitchers give quality starts in three games?
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Wells a little bit of a loophole with the quality start because I think he gave up four runs.
But all right, you're right.
Only quality three of them was earned. Three. But only three of them was earned, so technically he did get a quality start.
Well, and let's be real, four runs with this offense, you should be able to beat that team. So we did not do our part offensively on Sunday.
Right, and the other aspect of it is Corbin Burns had 11 strikeouts. Rodriguez had 9 strikeouts. Wells had 7 strikeouts. I mean, the strikeouts, and they, by the way, Corbin Burns, Grayson Rodriguez, Tyler Wells, they combined for 27 strikeouts, and they combined for one walk.
Yeah.
How do you like that ratio? 27 strikeouts from our first of the starters in the first three games, one walk.
Well, you want to throw Kramer in there? He went five and a third.
Okay.
Five strikeouts, one walk for him tonight.
Okay. Great. So we can add that to 32 strikeouts and two walks. That's not too shabby for a starter.
And he gave up three runs. So you're looking at like three earned runs. So one. It's like eight runs by our starters given up.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the, the whip numbers are kind of ridiculous. I mean, Corbin Burns, 0.17, Rodriguez, 0.83, Wells, 0.83, and Kramer, 0.75. So they all are averaging in their first start less than a walk or hit per innings pitched.
Yep.
All the batting averages are in the hundreds, except for Corbin Burns, which is 0.053. So just, I think overall, a really good start by our starters.
Yeah.
You mentioned today's interesting because this is the first game that is actually competitive. So the first game where I think we can get a view of how manager Hyatt's going to manage his bullpen in terms of 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Right. It's a close game. Yeah.
Yeah. I was interested in Keegan Aiken pitching the 7th. That was a little bit of a surprise to me.
Right. And that might be because of Perez being hurt.
Right, and you want to go with that lefty.
Yep.
And then it was backed up by Cano, and now we're seeing our first look at Kimbrel in the game. So I guess we're going to go with Cano and Kimbrel. No surprise, is 8th, 9th in the guy.
Yep. I like it. I mean, I'm fine with that. It's 8 and 9. I don't know. I like to think of Keegan Aiken as more of a multi-inning guy than just the 7th-inning guy, but if he can shut down, then that works as well.
Yeah, I think of Coulomb and Perez as our lefty specialists when you need a couple outs. But I think of Keegan Aiken when you need an inning or two.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's how I feel as well.
Yeah. Offensively, pretty good outing as well. I mean, we had a couple incredible innings in each of the games. But guys who were off to incredibly hot starts, Ryan Mountcastle off to incredibly hot start. Gunnar Henderson looking like the freaking MVP.
Yep.
So it's good to see.
So how about Santander? Santander are getting two home runs in the first two games, making two outstanding catches today.
Yeah.
No, so good, you start can't leave them out there. And that's, I mean, that's our top four. Gunnar, Adley, Mountcastle, Santander. That's, and they're all playing outstanding.
Yep. Good production from the top of the lineup. Yeah. No, I agree. It's good to see.
Is there anyone you're concerned about after just one series?
No, I think it's stupid to even consider being concerned about someone after one series.
I agree with you. I agree with you. There's guys that I've learned, that I have concerns about as far as the season, and they need to pull it together, and there's pressure on them. But I won't take anything away just from this one series.
Yeah.
So, did you expect this offense to be as powerful as it is?
Against the Angels, sure.
Okay.
Let's see when we play some real teams.
Have you ever seen a team have an emergency team meeting after two games?
Yeah, poor Ron Washington trying to get hold of the reins.
Well, that was for the Nats, right?
No, that's for the Angels.
Okay, Ron Washington's. I thought Ron Washington was Nats. I'm confused.
He was.
Okay, because the Nats also had an emergency meeting after two games.
Oh.
The difference is that the Angels came in on Sunday and took quality at bats and did a lot better plate appearances than they had done the first two games.
Yeah.
Or maybe they took the it a little serious.
Yeah. I was listening to, why am I blank on his name? Who's the best reporter out there
for Buster baseball? Olney.
No, he's Keith, not the best. The old
Keith,
guy.
Keith Law.
No, he's not the best. Why am I blank on his name? It's annoying.
Tim Kirchen.
Yeah, there he is. Tim Kirchen. Thank you. Hearing Tim Kirchen talking about the Yankees today and talking about how
it's frustrating hearing how well the Yankees' first series with the Astros went.
Yeah, and now he thinks that one batter, Juan Soto, changes the entire lineup just because Juan Soto is such a good hitter and is so patient and almost becomes contagious on, like, here's how you're supposed to take at bats. Here's how to be patient against a tough pitcher. And so the Yankees look really good and
led by
Juan Soto. But and we saw this too with the Orioles, like, good at bats almost become contagious, where you just put together quality at bat, quiet for quality at bat, for quality at bat. So that was great to see. Josh, do you think, how big of a deal is it? Big deal, little deal, or no deal, that Gunnar Henderson was an at bat away, only needing a double to hit for the cycle, and he was benched by Manager Hyde and put in Kemp there at the end. It was a blowout, not competitive.
It was a blowout.
But Manager Hyde did not let Gunnar Henderson even have a chance at getting the cycle.
Yeah.
Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Yeah, you and I were not happy about it as guys at the stadium sticking around basically to see history.
Yeah, very surprised.
Yeah.
Shocked, even, I would say, by the
decision. Yes, but it is so Gunnar Henderson to not care about that. He had it last year where he just needed a single and he ran a double, and his comments afterwards, well, if I was supposed to get the single, then to get the cycle, then it would have been that type of hit. Instead, it was a double. And it's like, he does not care about that stuff. So there's no way that Manager Hyde pinch hits for Gunnar Henderson in that situation without first going to Gunnar and saying, Gunnar, do you want to stay in the game and try to get the cycle, or you want to get rest? There's no way that was Hyde's decision. That was Gunner's decision to say, I don't care about the cycle.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is a hot take or not. I'm calling BS and all that. Now, I think if you ask Gunner, of course, Gunner is going to say, no, I don't care about the cycle. He surely doesn't care about the cycle. My thing is, the whole job of a manager is to, like, give your players opportunities to do great things, right? That's part of the
deal. No. The deal with the manager is to win the game.
Oh. I see. You're thinking small, Josh. You're thinking just today's game, right? And I'm thinking bigger.
You're thinking the cycle could stop him from the MVP win.
No, not the MVP. But I'm saying Buck Showalter, I like our guys. I want our managers to fight for our guys, to fight for them to look good, to fight for them to go in the history books, to give them cool opportunities. Even if the players are reluctant to do it themselves, I want a manager who says, listen, I know this isn't important to you right now, but in 20 years, this might be important to you.
I hear you.
Just one more at bat. Go ahead and do it and try to and it would pump up the team.
Yeah,
it would
right. Pump
up Gunnar if he did it. That's the manager's job. And I don't blame Gunnar at all for saying, I don't want to do it. I blame manager Hyde for not fighting for Gunnar to go out there.
No, you're right. In fact, it should have been done exactly that. It should have been Hyde going over to Gunnar and saying, hey, I'm going to pull you after your next at bat. Take the at bat. We're not going to pinch hit you. But if you get on base, we'll pinch run you or at least you're not going back into the field.
Yeah.
Like you got an at bat right here. Let's take it.
An opportunity to celebrate Gunnar Henderson, to celebrate this individual accomplishment, to like get behind Gunnar and let him try to do something cool that's exciting for him, but also exciting for the team. And it's just like a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
All because we got to be boring or something. I don't know.
No, you're right. You're right. It should have been, hey, take your last at bat and then we'll pull you.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt anybody. Right.
No, you're right. I agree.
That's just kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
But other than that, I have no issues with the lineup. We can talk about Cowser not playing. I tell you what, it's been good to see Jordan Westberg in the lineup every day. That's
as he hits a walk-off home run?
Oh, my. Was that Westberg?
That was Jordan Westberg, as you're calling it, hit a walk-off home run to win Monday night's game.
All right.
So, yeah, no, I
wasn't paying attention. I guess we must have blown in the ninth.
Yes.
Kimbrel got the blown slave save.
Yes, Jurassic the blown Kimbrel. Yep, he got the blown slave.
And then, I still got the blown save. And then, of course, extras, Jordan Westberg. Was that?
Not extras. That was bottom of nine.
Oh, that was bottom of ninth?
That was bottom of the ninth.
Okay.
Because we're the home team.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a walk-off. And it is. Yep. It's been
off
great.
The field.
It's been great to see Westberg in the lineup every day.
Moment for Jordan. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is great. Help me out with this, though. Oh, yeah. I don't like his mustache, but I know that's a millennial thing.
Yeah, I don't like any of the mustaches.
Jordan Westberg's played second base exclusively. Wouldn't you, if Jackson Holliday's going to come up and play second base, wouldn't you be having Westberg work out at third base?
I mean, that's a pretty swing, arms extended. Yeah. I mean, second base, third base. Jordan Westberg's a guy that's going to hit 25 home runs with a swing like that, opposite field.
Yeah. No, it was
that fan. I don't know if the fan caught it or not, but what kind of celebration they got going on in the dugout, Josh?
Earlier today we saw them have a set of handlebars. So it's definitely a bike, motorcycle, rev up Birdland that the Orioles are going with.
Yeah.
So look for shirts coming to Section 336 as we rev up Birdland.
I don't know. I think a lot of the defensive stuff is made up. Like
what
I
do
think
you mean?
I think Jordan Westberg can play third base really well. And then go over second base and play second base really well.
So you think he doesn't need, like, you're not worried, like, who cares about him playing third base?
Yeah.
Just move him when Holliday comes up. He doesn't need to prepare for it.
Yeah, I think that's true with all of them. With Gunnar, I think Gunnar can play anywhere and play it well. Holliday can, and Westbrook can. I can play all the positions well. I don't think it's even a thing. In fact, Josh, I don't know if you saw, but yesterday, Jackson Holliday plays shortstop. For the time.
Oh, did he? Did he?
Yeah.
So he played shortstop when we're being told he needs more time at second base before he can come up.
Yeah. And his first at bat of his first game, he hit a home run off a lefty.
Yes,
so check that box. And now they moved him back to short. So check that box. He can play second now. So now you tell me why he's still there.
I stick with my initial thoughts last week that he is there because of Ramon Urias. But here's what I don't get, and we haven't talked about this. Tony Kemp makes no sense, because I thought it was all about, well, we don't want to lose Nevins. We don't want to lose Urias. They don't have options. let's go with them. We're going to keep them on the roster, and that's why. Let's let them play out a little bit
first.
That
was always your logic.
That's always been my logic. That's always been my logic. And I got to say, Mike Elias blew my logic up.
Yeah.
By signing Tony Kemp.
Yeah, because your logic was dumb to begin with.
Because he was ready to get rid of Nevins over Kemp. So I now have to sit here and say, I do not understand why Jackson Holliday is not on this team.
Okay.
Because I hate to believe it's service time manipulation.
I can give you a few million reasons why.
I hate to believe it's service time manipulation, but it's got to be service time manipulation.
We're running out of reasons of why.
I have no more reasons why. It's service time manipulation. It's got to be. I can't explain it without that.
Well, I hope he gets caught up, messes around, and wins the freaking Rookie of the Year.
So with service time manipulation, when would he be able to go up and get another year?
I mean, it's a certain number of games.
And at-bats.
And at-bats. So it's like it also depends how often he plays when he gets here. So the math gets complicated. But I think if you can hold him down to like the end of May, I think you're okay.
The end of May.
That's my guess. So it gets complicated with the numbers. I hope you spend the next 30 minutes trying to figure this out, Josh. So you can go for it, but...
Well, you're no longer a rookie after 130 at-bats. Or 50... Or 130 at-bats.
Yeah, that's for rookie eligibility, but that's not the same as...
So that would not be the same.
Right.
All right. I don't know, and I don't... But yeah, can I... Please explain to me without saying money and service time manipulation.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only argument is just on the sake of at-bats, he only had, something like 10 games or whatever it was at Norfolk. And so you could say, well, he just needs more games at that level to prove that he can hit at that level. But I thought he proved himself pretty well at spring training. But whatever, we don't need to belabor the point. It's just, it's going to be every time someone at second messes up, and every time Holliday does anything in the minors, we're going to hear about it. But that lineup for Norfolk is a juggernaut. And this past weekend, they played like a juggernaut too. They scored a whole bunch of runs against Durham. So that's going to be a fun team to follow, Norfolk team.
Now, I will say Nick Mattin and Ryan McKenna both cleared waivers, so they'll get to go down there and join the juggernaut. And then Tyler Nevins did get picked up by the Oakland Athletics. So if the Orioles wanted to protect him, they just lost him because of Kemp.
Yeah, and they didn't want to protect him because they don't need him. They don't need him. They don't need Kemp. These guys are literal placeholders. Urias is very close to the placeholder status too, to be honest. I saw they used Mateo well tonight. O'Hearn got a hit, and Mateo pinched hit, ran for him. At least Mateo can always do that. No one can take that away from Mateo. But
Bradford.
Okay. You keep on saying that, and I keep on saying he's 80 pounds soaking wet.
No,
he can't hit the ball pass out of the infield.
But you were talking about speed, and he can go pinch run.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't think Nevins matters. I don't think Kemp in the long term matters because we have so many prospects. It's just you need a placeholder until you can get an extra year of service time out of Holliday, and then Kemp will be gone.
Right.
Or your eyes will be gone. I don't know. One of them will be gone. But it was good. I'm glad that McKenna cleared waivers because I like him. I think he adds good depth to the outfield in case you had injuries there. You don't have to go the Aaron Hicks route. And then, so I'm good with that. And I'm good for, actually, part of me is like, it probably would have been better for McKenna to get picked up somewhere so he could actually play. I hope Nevins gets a chance to actually get some regular playing time.
Yeah, because these are guys we'd like to see do well.
Yeah.
Like, it was nice to see DL Hall and Joey Ortiz get in and playing time with Milwaukee.
Yeah, it was good. I watched that start. And that Hall made, and he pitched pretty well, and he would not have gotten the same opportunity to start here. I'm pretty sure he would have been in the bullpen, and certainly Ortiz would still be in the minors. There's no doubt about that. And so it's good to see them both playing in the majors, and it looks like on a consistent basis. So yeah, that's been encouraging. Good to see.
Yep. All right. So we're 3-1 through our first four games.
Yeah, after this walk-off, baby, Jordan Westbrook, let's go.
And that's Michael Wacha, where we've been 1-9 against. So it's nice to get a win against them. Because he's had our number.
Yeah, that was weird. Like, Michael, we hit really well against Wacha. He's just always got a tons of runs and support. Right.
Yeah, it was weird stat. So any other takeaways from either this offense or this rotation? What about the bullpen? Do we feel comfortable with the bullpen, or do we worry about the bullpen?
No, we always worry about the bullpen. Because we saw them blow a lead tonight.
Well, that's what I was going to say. We saw Kimbrel blow a lead. We saw the Orioles go to the bullpen with big leads, and both times they gave up some runs. Didn't blow the game, but they gave up runs. How do we settle in? Is there anything we got to do with this bullpen? Because you can't be falling apart and giving up runs when our starters are going six innings.
Yeah, I think the bullpen is still a work in progress, right? The Perez injury was standing. We don't know what's up with that. We have Bauman, who looked good at the end of last year, but again, doesn't have a long track record. He grew up as a starter in the minors, transitioned to the bullpen, not a long track record. And then you have other guys like, who was I just thinking of? Dylan Tate, who's coming off injury.
Yep.
So we don't know exactly what his performance letter. He didn't pitch at all last year.
Didn't look good this weekend.
Right. And then you have Cano, who's stepping into, who's back. He's kind of was unhittable, could not score a run against him to start the year, then struggled a little bit. People thought, well, maybe he's getting fatigued. Maybe something's wrong with his kind of pitching windup because if he's tired or something. But we'll see. Hem is kind of has a little more pressure this year. I feel like even if he's not closing games, there's no Batista there. So I think it's going to be on Hem a little bit more because you're missing a bullet in that bullpen. And then you're taking away a guy who was an automatic save. And you're replacing it with Kimbrel, who's going to make things interesting. And now we're going to see what the rest of baseball has to do in the ninth inning. And that's sweated out. And we didn't have to do that last year.
Right.
So, yeah, there's question marks in this bullpen. And I think time will tell. I don't know. Is Jacob Webb a long-term bullpen answer? Is Dylan Tate a long-term bullpen answer? Is Keegan Aiken a long-term? Like, all these guys, it wouldn't surprise me if we're looking here in August and this bullpen, half the guys are gone and this bullpen looks really different. It wouldn't surprise me at all. So, yeah, I think the bullpen is still very much a work in progress.
You think we'll look in outside the organization, or you think just continue to grow internally? Norfolk, or you think, you know, we've got guys down in Norfolk that could come up. We've got Vespi, we've got Webb's back. Brian we've got Baker. Vespi, we've got Baker, we've got Zimmerman. Is the type of things that they bring these guys up, or you think we continue to look outside the organization to find something to solidify this bullpen?
No, you're not looking outside at this point. It is. I mean, it is what it is. No one's looking to get rid of bullpen help. And I mean, this is not the time. If you're going to do that, you should have did that a week ago. This is not the time to be adding externally. This is you. We are who we are. And we can dabble with Norfolk, but again, those are guys that we know too, right?
Yeah.
We know who Vespi is, and he's fine. And we know who Brian Baker is, and he's okay.
Right. They're fine.
Not guys, either the guys you want, you have a lot of faith in pitching in a key integral spot in the eighth inning, in the seventh inning. And that's, right. I think, where we need guys. And so this might be a different discussion in July when we talk about the trade deadline. But as of now, we're going to figure out this whole bullpen thing, and we're going to figure out on the run. But this series against the Royals, I love that we got the first win. It felt this was looked like down 3-0.
Yeah, it looked like
come back. It looked like maybe this is one that's going to get away from us, and then we blew the save. So it was great, and to have a young player that like Westbrook step up with the big hit. But I like this series because I like all the Bobby Witt comparisons.
Right,
so many of them. On the one hand, Bobby Witt just signed a contract that Gunnar Henderson should sign tomorrow.
Yes. There's
that shortstop, young. Well, superstar.
We got an offer to him for him to sign it.
Okay, right. Young superstar shortstops in the American League, both kind of under 22 or whatever it is. And then we have the 1-2, the Adley number one overall, Bobby Witt number two overall. You have that dynamic as well. Yep. And Bobby Witt is just a freaking fun player to watch. Hits the ball a mile. He runs you know, 100 miles per hour. He's fun to watch. He's exciting. So I like playing the Royals. I think it's going to be a good series. And I'm glad, kind of like we stole that first one. I'm glad we could get that one. I also saw this stat, Josh. Didn't we get swept by the Rangers in the playoffs?
We did. Yes. Did you see their World Series ring as their whole trip to the World Series was on the road? So they used the letters of all the teams they beat on the road to spell out the word road. So they took the R from the Rays, the O from the Orioles, the A from the Astros, and the D from the Diamondbacks.
Yeah,
to spell out road.
Nice.
So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, but I was going to say we got swept, but I saw Sarah Lang tweeted out that our 95 or whatever not getting swept streak is still intact, because I guess it doesn't count the playoffs.
Yeah, regular season. Yeah.
All right. Well, that streak's still alive as of tonight.
I forgot that we had that streak going. So that's true. So tomorrow we have another 6:30 game, which I forgot about these 6:30 games because I saw 6:30 and I said, oh, it's because we're playing Kansas City. When
No. We talked about
it's this a home game.
So happy, yeah.
Yeah, they're moving it for the kids, which is great.
The kiddos. Though, I already got a text from my wife today.
Yes.
And she's like, it starts already, the fight between Silas going to bed and staying up for the game.
Oh, no.
Because he's got an 8 o'clock bedtime. And so now this puts him right, like, kind of in that fourth inning. Oh,
and he's on spring break?
Yeah.
So do you want to set the precedent starting with spring break? And then you got to go back to school. So who won tonight?
I don't know. But this is going to be a battle every night on what inning or what time you can go to bed.
Yeah, I got home and let's see. Someone just told me they can't hear me on PSF. So that's unfortunate. Would have been nice to know an hour ago. But anyway, I got home and on the sofa in my office was all this Orioles stuff and Maryland stuff.
I said it would have been nice to know an hour ago. Like, anyone can hear him say that.
Exactly. Well, that was the whole point. They could have said that.
But they didn't hear you, so they didn't.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be my phone stand. Who knows? Maybe phone stand's blocking the microphone. Right. I don't know. But
did
anyway,
you allow the mic. Oh, never mind.
I think so. Right. Let me see. Let me try this. Anyway, I thought it was interesting to come home and find that my sofa had all this like Orioles stuff on it that was not mine and Maryland stuff. And it was because Owen was also excited for opening day and had a whole setup ready for the first game. Oh, so cool. It's fun to have the kids excited for baseball as well.
Cool. Yeah. So we're playing the Royals now. Hopefully we can take 2 out of 3, maybe sweep. And then we go play the Pirates, who I don't know if the Pirates won today, but the Pirates look like a freaking juggernaut who may never lose all year. So anyone thought that was going to be an easy game,
right,
or an easy series, you got another thing coming because the Pirates are good this year. And then we got the Red Sox. And then I don't know how it lines up, Josh, with the Corbin Burns. Does it line up for Corbin Burns? I haven't looked that far ahead.
Yes.
Play his old team against the Brewers and maybe
there's a good chance. Well. Yeah, there's a good chance it could be that Sunday game, I believe. And DL Hall could line up to be the same game or the game after.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So, yeah, it'd be fun to see DL Hall as long as we can hit him. Yeah. And so just tomorrow,
not too much.
Yeah. Tomorrow's Cole Irvin. So we get to see the back end of our rotation.
Yeah, see if that fastball plays up like it did in spring training.
Yeah, exactly. See if the spring numbers can translate to real games. And then we get Corbin Burns back. Because the great thing about baseball is every 5 days you get your ace, or 6 days you get your ace.
Yeah.
And it's been awesome. So we're four games in. I'm happy with all our starters, and I hope it continues that way.
Yeah, and I feel good about this lineup. Let's just get Colton Cowser in there a little bit more, and I'm feeling good about that lineup too.
Yep. All right, did we miss anything from the first series?
No, I think that covers it. Orioles starting out 3-4. We're right where we should be. Yep. I think it's one of those things where when you were watching the Orioles play in the playoffs last year, it was so miserable. So I'm glad to get that kind of taste out of my mouth. And also, it just feels like when you lose, especially losing how you lost in the playoffs badly, it feels just like this team, you know, it may make them feel worse than they actually are. And when you see them play on Thursday and Saturday the way they played, you got to thinking like, we're probably not going to go 162-0, but the way we're playing, how do we ever lose? The way the starting pitching is pitching, the way our offense is going. And then, of course, we lose Sunday.
Right. You want to know something awesome about that PSF app? And the people just telling me now that my audio wasn't working. I just found there's a tiny mute icon that I had pressed when I was trying to get you on the on that app.
Oh, that's funny.
So, hey, we will stream on. This is a good time to talk about the PSF app. If you check out the PSF app, it stands for Pro Sports Fans. Go check that out and download it. Join the group called Orioles Chat. You can find the links and everything in our Twitter feed. It's a place where you can talk with Oriole fans while games are going on. And then it's a place where we're going to start putting our podcast as well and join live there so we can have just another place where we can talk Oriole fans. It's kind of like our Discord group, but a little bit more open. So it's a great thing to check out. And I'll try not to press the mute button.
All right. Now I'm hearing the phone. Does he have this problem where the audio is coming through the phone?
Yeah, turn the volume all the way down on your phone.
On the phone?
Yeah, just turn your volume down.
It won't let me.
All right. Well, we're getting out of here anyway.
All right, we'll get out of here anyway.
So I will say a little bit, Little League, I have not shared on the podcast yet about the home run chain. We were talking celebrations for the Orioles as we're trying to figure out what this new dirt bike, motorbike celebration is. I brought the home run chain out to Little League. Brought it out for the first game. I pulled it out of the bucket, pulled all the kids together. Gave them a little huddle and said, "Hey, look, guys, I got something special." I pulled this home run chain out and I said, "Look, here's the deal. If you touch home plate, if you score, you get to wear this." I said, "But if no one scores, it just sits here in the ground." So I put it there. And then I said, "But you guys are in charge of managing it, not me." And then I go out and I coach third base, and it is awesome. The kids get excited for it. When they score, you see other kids grab the chain and come and greet them as they get to the dugout and put it on and celebrate with them. You see the parents come over and take pictures of the kid wearing the home run chain. So it's been a really cool thing to add as a celebration and have fun with the home run chain.
You know, that's cool. I love bringing the fun to Little League and bringing the home run chain to Little League. That's cool.
Yeah.
It's certainly better than the rev too of the engine. So
I don't
the best. Are you considering bringing the homer hose too?
No, I played with bringing the homer hose, but it doesn't look like a homer hose. So that makes it a little tough. I don't want to be the Little League coach that's giving the kids beer bongs.
Oh, our corrupt society and turned everything
you, into you think I should do bad. You think I should take a case of Liquid Death and the homer hose out to every game?
Yeah, absolutely. I think should. I think
that would be pretty hilarious.
I want to see that on social media. That thing will spread fast.
I think now that you're a Little League coach also, you can do that one.
No thanks.
So that'd be pretty funny. Yeah. But yeah, home run chain has been a lot of fun in Little League. I recommend that you do something like that. Your age might be a little young. I did not do it until 10U because I think the kids understand it a little bit more. And it's cool because you don't have to hit a home run. You just have to touch home plate, which means the people that suck can still get a walk, get hit by the pitch, and end up scoring.
Name names, Josh.
I probably shouldn't have said suck.
Yeah, that's
probably. But the kids who are not very good, the kids that are still learning the game, still have a chance to wear the chain.
Yeah, that's cool. It's like the splash zone where I thought it was for extra base hits, but turns out anyone who scores a run or gets a good hit.
Right, they spray. Yeah. Should I bring the splash zone for the parents? Get there with a hose and I spray them down every time we score?
Oh, that's a good idea. You need someone else. You need an assistant coach to be the splash zone guy.
I need my own Mr. Splash.
Yeah, you need your own Mr. Splash. Splash the parents.
Yep, that would work. All right. Go on over. Check out Birdland Sports. New shirts coming up. Obviously, new shirts in the works because of the new celebration means I need new shirts. I also put up, I've gotten a lot of requests and I've been behind on this, but I finally got around to putting up some new kids shirts and baby onesies. So if you're into that type of thing, if you got little kids, if you named your kid Grayson, named your kid Adley, named your kid Gunner, named your kid Camden, what other?
Brooks?
Brooks. But Brooks has been forever. Brooks, I feel like people my age were named Brooks after Brooks Robinson. I'm just trying to think of people, more recent kid names. But yeah, go get a kid stuff over there. Kid shirts, baby onesies, and plenty of adult tees. Oh, I got a shout out on Masson on Sunday.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so that was cool to see. I had to go watch the replay to see it because I wasn't listening at the time, but my phone started blowing up and people messaging me. So I knew, and I knew I had to get mentioned on the broadcast, and I knew it must have been the fact that Kevin Brown referred to hunting as they have to go catch a deer and gave a hard time about it. So I made a catch a deer t-shirt that shows Kevin Brown and a deer inside of a giant baseball glove. And it just says catch a deer across the top. So that shirt, making fun of Kevin Brown, was featured on Masson and is now available on birdlandsports.com.
No, that's cool. That's cool. And you can also join our Discord chat and like us on iTunes. I got a question or podcast. We got to talk after the show because if I can find some of the reviews come up, new reviews, when I go to a certain place, but not on the Apple Podcasts. Isn't that weird? You ever heard that happen before?
Yeah, there's new reviews that are not in the Apple Podcasts app?
Yeah. Like if you just go to Raphonic, you know how Raphonic has reviews on there?
I don't know what Raphonic is.
Okay, well, if you Google Section 336 Podcast Reviews and like Raphonic pops up there and they have some reviews on there that aren't on Apple Podcasts.
All right, let's see what I can find.
I just think that's a little bit weird.
Yeah, that is weird. Because I'd like to highlight the people, but I always just look at Apple Podcasts for reviews. Are there other sites that will give reviews as well?
Yeah, I don't know why they're not showing up on podcasts. But anyway, we can talk about that later.
We'll look at that and feature the people next week.
Yeah, in the meantime, go ahead on Apple Podcasts and write us a review. Give us 5 stars. Tell us why you like the show.
Yep.
And
tell people on social media to check us out.
Social media. Yeah. All right. Well, with that, boys and girls, good night. A Westy walk-off.
Hey, I figured out your issue.
Yeah.
And let's feature some of these podcast reviews. Here is why we do not see these in our Apple Podcast app. Because they are from overseas, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
So here's one from October 30th. And I am sorry that we missed this one. But it says, lift off from down under. If you want to hear about the O's from a guy that bleeds orange, then this podcast is for you. Listening to these brothers talk feels like sitting around a table and drinking a few beers discussing the ins and outs of baseball life. The Orioles don't get a lot of love here in Australia, but this show keeps me in the loop. Continue on your great work, fellows, and some more Bert story time, please.
I agree with the more Bert story time. We're on the same page there, buddy.
So that guy left a review in October, and so did this guy from Canada. You guys rule. I came across your podcast from a friend, and I love your takes on our boys in orange. As a fan stuck in the wastelands of Canada, I don't get a lot of insight on Orioles baseball that isn't slanted in the favor of those non-good, no-good Blue Jays. I just love being able to appreciate the true birds of baseball without having to apologize for being Canadian. Thanks, y'all.
You are welcome, sir.
So those were two podcasts from Canada and Australia that we have totally missed because of that. So I will have to do some work to see if we have some other podcast reviews that we've missed over the years because they're overseas and feature them in the future. But thank you guys for doing those reviews. Continue to do those reviews and share on all your social medias.
Yep, you can follow the show on all your social media platforms. You can follow me on X at Section336. You can follow Josh on X
at Josh Soroka and at Birdland Sports.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's.